Thank you, Dino. And as you can see, we have a very thought-provoking panel, but that's exactly why we're here. Eugene, please.
Dino is an angry man, and I wonder whether he was hungry also. Thank you, Chandra. This is the third McGill Global Food Security Conference. I venture to state that we may not have put in place a systematic mechanism to monitor progress or failure as we move forward to a state of from a state of severe insecurity to improved security in food, nutrition, and health. But Chandra, to his credit, has taken care of that, because here at the third conference, we have had the pleasure and we have witnessed the official launch of the McGill Global Food Security Institute. But I am preoccupied. Dino is angry, and I am preoccupied. I'm preoccupied with a definition of the leadership role that this institute will play. I believe that one of the roles that this institute might play would be to systematize monitoring and reporting for the evolving global food security enterprise. Somebody has got to take stock of all this breathtaking activities that are going on around us. I believe that it'll be useful for us to do some baseline analysis, to learn how to track improvements in capacity building, to learn how to measure accountability, to track investments, to track incentive structures and systems around the world, especially at the national level, since we have all declared that most of the action is going to take place at the national level. We've got to learn on how to report and observe and critique management systems around the food security enterprise that we are attempting to develop. So that's one challenge for the Food Security Institute. Drawing from the engagement of this institute in tracking capacities, I believe it will be useful to determine and define its own program of capacity building, which resonated right through the presentations during these last 2 days. Capacity building as part of the mandate, which is in harmony with already the faculty's mandate of training young agricultural research and development scientists. We can learn from monitoring the activities where the capacity gaps are, and we can use those to define our capacity building programs. Some examples of capacity building targets for the McGill Global Food Security Institute would be something that so many people have mentioned already, and that is how public-private partnerships activities are developing? How are they complementing the private sector technology generation value creation process? Especially in developing countries where the private sector is not yet well embedded. And we had some reasons given for why this is the case. Hence, the need, for example, for an advanced market commitment that the Canada Finance Department put forward this morning. We believe that capacities need to be developed, public sector capacity, for identifying some key constraints and some priority traits that will help us address food, health, nutrition, and nutrition insecurity. Intellectual property management, liability protection, product stewardship, compliance with regulatory and biosafety regimes. These are all areas where strong capacity building will be required. Let me address an issue which is probably only indirectly related to some of the things I've talked about, but I think it's a continuing worry and it's a continuing concern, and I can see a role here for this institute. It's the question of process versus outcomes. I believe that this institute can act in one way or another, periodically, as a neutral, independent moderator in the debate that is currently raging in development circles. And that debate has to do with the issue of organic versus advanced technology. I believe this debate has taken an unfortunate and an unhelpful direction because of the flawed premise in the way in which the issues are presented. By any measure of intellectual discourse, this debate is being put forward as an either-or proposition. I have no doubt whatsoever that there are only a few people in this room who will agree with me that it is an either-or proposition, because I believe the issues are very important, they're very profound, they deal with multi-stakeholder enterprises, they deal with multi-agenda issues, and therefore we must not begin to prescribe some of the solutions to these problems before we look at the outcomes and the preferred outcomes. So I believe that should be a task for this institute to begin to put a sensible outlook on how to conduct this debate and to provide a proper backdrop for this debate so that we can begin to make progress in precisely how we can define what are the elements of solutions to the problems and not be wedded to either one aspect of solution or one type of technology or the other. So, Chandra, these are some of the suggestions that I have as challenges for the institute, for the new institute, and I'd like to take this opportunity to give you credit for coming up with the idea of the institute and to wish you the best of luck.